the things I often say is that life happens. Well, it happened again. Someone just handed me a note that said that Gary McKnight fell and hurt his knee and is in the ER as we speak. And so we want to remember Gary, and hopefully things are well with him as he tries to get things taken care of today. As I think about the opportunities that I have in life, I've had a lot of chances to fail. And guess what? I failed. I remember playing sports a lot, and that was just last week. I have played, and we were ahead in basketball, I remember, on several occasions, and somebody on the other team hits an unthinkable shot to put them ahead with almost no time left. And I'm thinking, oh, we blew that. How did we let that happen? And then we throw the ball in bounds, and we make an even more unbelievable shot, and we wind up winning. We think we lost, but we won. Well, the reverse of that is true as well. I've thought I've won at a lot of things, and come to find out, I lost. Well, tonight, I want to look at this story, and there are so many great messages in every story that God tells us in His Word. And they're about life. They're about real life. And the thing that's hard for us to get across in our minds is these stories are about people just like us. Even if you take the apostles, they're just like us. These guys were going to work one day, and Jesus said, if you'll come after me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. And so instead of going to fish that day with nets and a boat, they went with Jesus and began to seek souls to be saved eternally. And Jesus called that fishing for men. And so these are people just like us. Now, we are not able to do the miraculous things that they were, but at every point, they had to make the choice to do right. God did not force any one of the apostles or any other inspired person to say or do that which was right. They chose it. And that's what you and I have to do. And God has set us a pattern of work and service as we look at the life of Christ. And this story is about the life of Christ. And what I want us to think about tonight is our effort to teach people. That ought to be a high priority. We ought to be people who are teachers of God's Word. Some of you would think, boy, I could never preach. Well, some of you think Roy could never preach either, but you got to try and you got to work and you got to keep trying and you got to keep working. And as we preach and teach to other people, God tells us that we must not worry about failing. Our job is to teach the truth. Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word. God doesn't say, listen, if you preach the word and they don't listen, you didn't do it right. There would have been something better you could have said or better you could have done. He just simply says, preach the word. So the job that Billy and I have and any of you have who preach is preach the word. We teach the word of God. It's not up to us about people responding. Who responds and why they respond and those kinds of things. They have to make that choice. So sometimes as we take a look at this story, we might think, boy, why did God not do something different? Here's a good guy. When I think about the rich young ruler, I think God sees people in ways that I could never see them. I wish I could. I wish I could see hearts sometimes, because sometimes I probably have made, I've made judgments about people that I had no business making because I couldn't see their heart and I didn't know exactly what they were thinking. God lets us know what this guy's thinking. But here's a young man who had apparent success. If you read the accounts, didn't put them together. He's a rich man. He's a young man. He's a ruler of people. And he had apparent spiritual success. If you just take a look at Jesus' description of this guy, we're going to see a guy that if we were looking on, we would think of this guy as a spiritual success. Yet Jesus saw him in need. When I start thinking about people that I know, people who worship regularly, people whose lives have an outward appearance of doing good and looking good, sometimes we find out there's something lacking here. Things just are not what they ought to be. Jesus saw this young man in need, and when this young man, and as I read this story, I think this young man is confident when he says, "Master, what do I lack yet to receive eternal life?" I just get the impression that he is ready for Jesus to wrap his arms around him. I've said that many times. I get that impression that he's wanting Jesus and expecting Jesus to say, "Listen, you're a good boy. You're just like little Jack Horner, and you are successful. What a good boy am I." I get that impression this young man is saying to Jesus and wanting Jesus' approval, but it didn't come. I just cannot think about standing in this world talking to the one that I believe is the Son of God and saying, "Listen, what do I lack yet?" And Jesus, God's Son, saying, "Well, Roy, here's some things you've got to do." This guy had one thing he had to do. Can you believe that you would walk away if you heard Jesus say, "Well, let me tell you what you need to do"? Here's what it is. This young man heard from the heart and the mind and the mouth of God Himself in the person of Jesus Christ. And he rejects eternal life. You ever try to teach someone that rejected what you understand to be a need that they have to receive eternal life, and to watch them walk away? When I look at this story, I wonder if the Lord should not have done something else. From a human standpoint, wouldn't there have been something else that this man who knew exactly what to say and how to say it, wouldn't he have said exactly what would have drawn this young man into eternal life? You see, the Bible teaches us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that anybody should perish. Jesus wasn't trying to say something to run this young man away from eternal life. He was trying to tell this young man what he needed. Here's what you ought to think about and do if you really are serious about eternal life. So, did the Lord fail here? And what I want us to think about tonight is when we teach, when we encourage, when we preach, and we recognize there's something lacking. And what's more important, the people that we're teaching recognize there's something lacking. We start thinking about it. I should have said something better. I should have preached better. If I were only a little bit better, those people would respond. I wonder sometimes, why can I not do something to turn people toward eternal life? I wonder why Jesus wouldn't have said something different to him, something more to him, something that would have indicated to this young man, "Oh yeah, I want to do that." And have him follow Jesus the way any number of people did do in following Jesus. I think about Judas, who spent 3 years with Christ. He was a traitor. And Jesus used him in a special way for 3 years. He walked right side by side. And the Bible tells us Jesus knew from the beginning he was a thief. It wasn't that he carried the purse for the apostles, which he did, and then all of a sudden he became greedy and wanted the money that he had in the bag. Jesus said he was a thief from the beginning. He was a betrayer from the beginning. And yet he was listed among the 12. Did Jesus fail? Did Jesus just not get it done? And all the messages about eternal life that Judas no doubt heard. Surely the Lord could have said something different, right? So we come to the rich young ruler. He recognized Jesus as being good. He recognized Jesus as an authority on eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And when Jesus said, keep the commandments, he said, I've done all of these. What do I lack yet? It just seems like when Jesus told him what to do, Jesus could have done something different, doesn't it? He didn't want this young man to walk away sorrowful. He wanted him to come to him. But this young man did. He went away sorrowful, and the reason is given. And is no doubt the problem that stood in this young man's way of eternal life. He liked his possessions more than he liked eternal life at that point. So we raise the question why as we look at this. Now, why does Roy Sharp, or you put your name in there, why do you believe that when you teach, when you encourage, and the people that you're teaching and encouraging do not respond, why do you think, look, you blew it. You could have been better. You could have done better. You could have studied more. You could have. And we could fill in the blanks with all of those things and be right, couldn't we? Because, you see, we're human. There's not one perfect without a mistake teacher among us. We've got great teachers in this room, but there's not one who's never made a mistake. There's not one who knows everything. There's not one who knows exactly what to say in every circumstance, so we don't get it done the way we should get it done sometimes, we think. But when we preach the truth and we let people know the truth, what makes us believe that we could be better than Jesus Christ, God's Son? He told the young man what he needed to do. That's what we need to do. We don't know if we want to associate with them. We don't know if we want to teach them or not. But if a man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit. Excuse me, in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So we, with a gentle spirit, encourage people to turn away from sin. We don't ever want to go towards sin with them. We want a life that is lived right before them, that is encouraging them to get out of the sin and back into a right relationship with God. So we work to restore them. Work hard. Turn people from error. How amazing it is what the Bible teaches us about what it's like to be lost. How amazing it is what God's Word teaches us about how vast our influence is. When one person turns away from God, they're going to have an influence on somebody else. And that somebody's going to have an influence on somebody else. And so as that grows and people turn away from God, what an awful setting it is. And then James reminds us, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, first of all, will save a soul from death. I've said many times, and I continue to think, I can't feature what it was like for Jesus to go through the suffering physically that he did as he died for me. I just can't feature being beaten like that, being spit on and mocked and cursed and being made fun of because he was telling them who he really was. And they were saying, come on, man, you can't be the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. They were ridiculing him and doing so many things that would have hurt any of us. I don't know what it's like to suffer the way he did, but I really don't know what it's like to suffer what he really went to the cross for. He really went to the cross to suffer for our sins. We can't see that yet, how hard, how harsh, how ugly that is. In fact, there are many people in the world today turning away from God, turning away from His Word, because the Bible presents God as who He is, a just God who cannot tolerate sin, and He's going to permit people to make the choice to go away from Him and live without His blessings. Tonight, this is a super blessed group. We've got all kinds of things. We eat well, we dress well, we live well. There's so many things going just like God planned in a great way. And so we can't imagine what it's like to be totally without God's blessing. We have so many of them. And we lose some of them, and we think we can't stand it. We think we can't go on. But none of us has an idea of what it's like. We cannot feel what God felt on the cross in the person of Jesus when He cried out, my God, why have You forsaken Me? We can turn a person from death because Jesus did that for us. If we choose it, we can turn away from death by listening to what God says. But we'll cover a multitude of sins. What a great blessing it is. And so we just keep working, trying to turn people away from their sins. And then we wait. That is so hard. I am so impatient. I want what I want now. And waiting on someone to respond to God's Word is so very hard. I have parents sometimes to say to me, wow, my child is 15 or 16 or 17 and they haven't obeyed yet, and I'm so concerned. I am worried about their soul. Sometimes we just have to wait because it has to be their faith that moves them. Some have older children who have waited and waited. Some children have parents that have waited and waited. And so that's a part of God's plan for us as teachers of God's Word. This is such a neat passage, and it's another one of those passages that many, many, many sermons have come from. In Isaiah chapter 40, the passage is talking about God and His glory and His greatness, and His rule over nations, His power to move men and put men in authority. The greatness of God is all over this chapter. And then Isaiah says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He neither faints nor is weary. You see, where is God when I need Him? Have you ever heard anybody say that? Look at all the things that are going downhill in my life. Where is God? Is He tired? Is He like Roy Sharp, kicked back in his recliner, taking a nap and doesn't see what's going on? Isaiah affirms to us, it's not a matter of God being tired. Not a matter of being worried. There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power to the weak. To those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be worried. Weary, excuse me. They may worry, but they'll be weary. They get tired. They get tired. These university students get under pressure during exam times and they grow weary and they get tired and sometimes they fall asleep and don't get all the studying done they need to, or they fall asleep and they don't get up and go take the test. Even youth, strong, healthy young people grow weary and they faint. The young men shall utterly fall. But look at this. Those that wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I've been reading through the book of Job again. Thoroughly enjoyed that. But these three guys that came to comfort, and then the fourth one that tried to help him, the young man that tried to help Job, they had a hard time waiting to know the truth. They were saying, this is it. You're sick with sin. You've got a real problem. Turn it loose and God will bless you. But we must wait on the Lord. Job had a hard time. It wasn't easy for him. He made some mistakes. He said some things. But wait on the Lord and trust in the Lord to renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. We need to learn to wait for things to work out. God permits time for things to work out. Things don't always work out the way that we want them to. I don't believe things worked out with Jesus and the rich young ruler the way Jesus would have wanted. He went away, sorrowful, choosing wealth and riches over eternal life. If you're in the room tonight and you're not a Christian, what have you got that you're holding on to if you know the truth? And it's likely there's somebody here that does. What are you holding on to and you would walk away from the Lord again because you'd rather hold on to what you have than to be faithful to God? Or if you're a child of God and you need to come home and turn back to the Lord, what are you holding on to? What is it that is causing you to walk away, perhaps even sorrowful? Hurt your heart to know what God says, but you choose what you want instead of what God says. As we think about what we can do, there are many things we can do, but no one can make that choice of salvation for you. It has to be you. If you've never been baptized, it's up to you to choose to repent of your sins and confess His name and be baptized. If you're a child of God, no one, no matter how much they love you, no matter how much they teach you, they have to wait until you choose. Our hope and our prayer is that the waiting will end for you. If you need to respond, please come. Let's stand and let's sing.